It is so good to be out in God's house again this morning. I tell you what, you know, the song says a lot there, does it not? You know, I don't know what's going on in your life. I know what's going on in mine a little bit. I know what's going on in some of yours in here. And I know what some of you've went through. And you know, Satan may be standing back there and throwing sucker punches and doing what he does best. But I want to tell you something this morning. And believe me, God is still on the throne.
Amen.
He's still the God that, like she said, walked on the water. He's still the God answering prayer that he is. And I will stand beside that and I'll believe that. I don't know how situations are going to end up. I don't know. That's not for me to know. But I do know that God knows. And I know that he will be with you to the very end, if he has to be.
Amen.
He will do that. Because why? Because he loves us.
Amen.
He loves us greater than you'll ever know, than you could ever imagine what love is about. That's how he loves us. And you know what? Come next Sunday, thousands of years ago, he proved it. Did he not? He proved it. We're going to be in the book of Colossians. If you want to turn over there, would you please take his word and turn there? Please take his Bible and turn to Colossians, the second chapter. I want to tell you something this morning. I want to brag on the one that I can brag on this morning, Dale, and that's Jesus Christ. I want to brag on him a little bit this morning. Colossians 2:3, if you would. "And whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You can mark that in your Bibles if you want, because I'll tell you what, right there says a lot right there. And I'll read it again. "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. First off, I want to praise you. I want to thank you, Father, for all that you've done in our life. I want to thank you, Father, for the mercy and grace that you showed and that you bestowed upon us, Lord. You've been so good to us, Lord. Father, we just want to thank you for that. Father, I want to praise you. I just want to love on you this morning, Father, for you've loved us, Father, and beyond all measure. I ask you now to go with this message this morning, Lord. I ask you to bless it, and I ask you, Father, to be with us. In Jesus' name we ask, and amen. I want you to discover a treasure this morning. I want you to discover that. God had dealt with me on this, and you know what? I want you to discover a treasure that's beyond all measure this morning. Yeah, listen to this. And this story reminded me of this. Many years ago, there was a Spanish Armada selling off. This is in the 1700s, selling off the coast of Florida. And this Armada had 11 ships in it, and they sunk. And every one of them that sunk had millions of dollars of gold and silver in these vessels. Whenever they sunk, one of them sunk in a place down in Florida. I believe it was called Vero Beach. I don't know if any of you have never heard of that or not down in Florida about it. But anyway, it's an area down in that place down there where it sunk down in that area. Every once in a while, some of these coins would flow up on the shore. People didn't realize it, but there was a ship that was right out there in that beach area right there, not too far from the shore, that had sunk, that had millions and millions of dollars of silver and gold on that ship. And every once in a while, and people knew, they'd heard of it, but they didn't realize that it was there. Well, you know what? It wasn't even very far out. It was only like 1,000 feet out from the shore. It wasn't very deep. Actually, anybody who could swim could actually swim down to it. They just did not know it was there. There was a treasure right underneath their nose. Finally, somebody was out there. They were searching for this stuff, went down and pulled this up. How many times had people went over this, had swim by this, had went fishing over top of this, had snorkeled around it, and had no idea that it was even there? Folks, I want to tell you something this morning. We have a treasure that's right under our very noses. I want you to understand that. It's right here in God's Word. It is a treasure that, you know what, we walk over sometimes, we walk around it, we go around it, but praise God, it's right here. And you know what? I want God to help show us how that we can get the most out of this treasure that He has for us. I want us to, don't want to do it. Trouble is, you know, the trouble is sometimes, I want to tell you something. You know the location of this. You know it. You know it's there. There's people that know that this treasure is there. But for whatever reasons, Bev, they don't want it. They don't want to go try to get it. They don't want to try to find it. So some folks, can you imagine this? I told you, how many people were fishing around that boat and maybe hooked onto it and thought that it was a snag and cut their lines and said, you know what? I'm not going to fish around this anymore. Listen to me. God is telling us His precious word. It's there for us. How many times have He tried to tell you and get a hold of you and let you know that I have a treasure for you and you can have it? And you know what we do sometimes? We cut our lines. We say, I don't want to mess with this anymore. It's too hard to try to read. It's too hard to try to get to comprehend. I want to tell you something. It's only through the Word of God and through His precious Holy Spirit that we can't understand it anyway. But praise God, it's there for us. You know what? I want you to know something yet. To discover this treasure. We have that, folks, in Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says in Colossians there. It said what it says right down there in Colossians, the first chapter. I'm going to be going all through this down through here, so you're going to bear witness with me, please. But it said, in whom, let's start with verse 14 of the first chapter of Colossians, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. For He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. That verse number 18, and I want you to mark the last part of that. In every book in the Bible, there's one verse that is the key to that book. That verse right there, many scholars say, and I agree with them, is the key to the book of Colossians. Do you want to know how that you can have all of them, in whom all the treasures of wisdom, earth, and knowledge? Listen to me. It is through Jesus Christ that He hath preeminence in our lives. That's how you come to know the knowledge and the wisdom that you need to have in this world that we live in. We have to put Jesus Christ. He has to be preeminent in our lives. He has to be the one that is there. That key to that scripture right there. And listen, folks, how do these treasures come out? You know what? We want to unlock all these treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus has to be preeminent in our lives. He has to be it. I'll tell you, this is something. You know what preeminence means? And I wrote this down. It says the fact of surpassing all others. Superiority. Now, I want to ask you a question here this morning. Every individual in here this morning, in your heart, there is a throne. Did you know that? Whether you want to admit it or not, you have a throne in your heart. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Who sits on that throne this morning? Who sits on it? Is it yourself? Is it somebody else or something else? I want to tell you this morning, if Jesus Christ is not preeminent on your throne, if He is not preeminent in your heart, there's no room for anything else. You may be sitting here this morning and saying, you know what? I have something else in my heart, you know, that's preeminent to me other than Jesus Christ. And whenever you're doing that, you know what you're telling Him? There's no room for you in my heart. That's what you're telling Him. If you're saying that this morning, you're saying He is not preeminent in your heart. That's what you're saying. And you know what? I want to tell you something this morning. Jesus Christ has to be the most important thing in your life. Amen? He has to be with us. If you want to bring your life in line with Almighty God, then make it the purpose of your heart and of your life that Jesus will have preeminence in your life. You've got to do that. If you want to get in on what God is doing and want to know how God is going to do it in your life, you've got to put Him number one. You've got to have Him preeminent in your heart. And if you do not do that, there's going to be you're going to not know just exactly how to go along, what God's got going on in your life. You won't have it. You won't know it. We will never know the fullness of God in our lives until our single aim is to, in our life, is that Jesus Christ is number one, is all important. We will never know the fullness of God in our lives until we do that. Amen? We will never know it. In the hearts of man, everyone has that throne. And I want to tell you something this morning. Who's on it this morning? Jesus is not looking for a prominent place in your life. I want to tell you that. He's not looking for a prominent place in your life. He's looking for a preeminent place in your life. There's a difference. You know what? He's not wanting, and I've seen this a long time ago, He's not wanting to be your co-pilot. He's wanting to be your pilot this morning. He wants to be it. He's not wanting to be the steering wheel. He's wanting to be the engine. Can you understand that? He's wanting to be the He's wanting to be your focus. He's wanting to be the one that drives you. It was important enough that God made Jesus Christ preeminent, and why should He not be preeminent in our lives? Amen? Amen. He's looking for that. He deserves it. He's wanting to be your all in all this morning. That's what Jesus Christ wants from you and I. You want to find that treasure? I'll tell you what. You get into God's Word. You make Him the number one in your life, preeminent in your heart, and you find out just how much was. Do you realize that there's a lot of people that have knowledge in this world we live in today, but don't have the wisdom to use that knowledge? How many would agree with me? There's a lot of smart doctors out there in the world, but they don't have the wisdom to use that sometimes. Amen? Would you agree with me on that? How many would agree with me that there's teachers out here in this world, and there were, that have the knowledge, but maybe don't have the wisdom to use it? How many would agree with me that there are preachers that have the knowledge, but don't have the wisdom to use what God has given him? Amen. Will you agree with me on that? I tell you what, I believe that this morning. Preeminence, the knowledge and understanding and wisdom. I want God to give me not only the knowledge of His Word, but the wisdom to use it. Amen. How is He preeminent? God, you know, if you want to know God, I want to tell you something. There are people out here in this world today that say, you know what? I really want to know God. I want to know what God's all about. I want to. Well, you know what? The only way that you can know God is through Jesus Christ, His Son. The only way that you and I can know God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 14 tells us again, He is the image of the invisible God. Verse 15 tells us, He is the image of Him. There are some people out there that don't want to believe that. They want to make Jesus less than that. And there are one religious group out there, that's their scripture right there to say that, you know what, God created Jesus. No, Jesus and God are one. A few years back, there was a church that was down in Maryland. And I pulled this up and I read the article on this again just to clarify it in my mind. So I wrote some of the things down. They were using market research and focus groups to decide how they were going to do their weekly services. This is what they were doing. They deliberately de-emphasized Jesus in their services is what they did. They deliberately did. One of the founders of the church said this. He said, the name of Jesus does not invite inclusiveness. So we have to de-emphasize Him. I want to tell you this morning, any church that does that, they might as well, if they're calling themselves a Christian church, just shut the doors, please. Just shut the doors. Don't even try something like that. They wanted to invite people in to find God by using what? Hinduism, Buddhism, Zen, intermingled with a few verses from the Bible. Their recorded music that they used was Willie Nelson songs. Yeah, this is a true story, folks. This is a true story. So it got me to thinking. I looked up some of Willie's greatest hits. You're Always on My Mind. Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. Good Hearted Woman. And the one that would probably bring him really close to God is Whiskey River. I know I'm being cynical. They probably used some religious songs that he had recorded. But I'm telling you right now, folks, whenever Jesus Christ is de-emphasized in any kind of a church meeting, tell me that you know what? You don't know what you're going to get out of service. If he is preeminent in a church service, praise God, that church will grow in the way that it should grow. I don't have to take focus groups out here. I don't have to go out in the community and try to find out what people want. You know what? Jesus Christ is all that we need. And if we preach Him and Him crucified, praise God, it will touch people's hearts. I don't have to have pre-recorded music. I just want the Spirit of God to be in here. That's what I want. Praise God. If they were really reading their Bibles, Matthew 11:27 tells them, all things are delivered unto me and my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, but the Father neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. He to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Praise God. I'm thankful I knew God one day because I met His Son, Belinda. I met His Son. Amen? I met Him one day. I tell you what, whenever I met Jesus Christ, I got to know the Father. I got to know Him real well. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If anybody wants to know God, they have to come through Jesus Christ to know Him. You see, the only way you can know God is for the Son to reveal Him to you. That's the only way. That's the only way. If you worship God or any other God that's not through Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something right now. You're worshiping an unknown God. That's what you're doing. If you're not worshiping God through Jesus Christ, if you haven't met Him through Jesus, you're worshiping an unknown God, what you're doing. He was preeminent also, folks, in creation. Colossians 1:16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and they were created for Him. There was not a blade of grass. There was not one grain of sand. There was not one creature that can fly, crawl, or swim that was not created by the God that we serve. There was not. There are some churches today, and I hate to pound on other, and I don't. I try not to bring up denomination, but there are some churches out today, they like to mix in the Bible with evolution a little bit. They like to do that. They believe that they came about by some evolutionary process, and they like to mix a little bit of the Bible in with it. There are churches that like to do that. I don't know. I have issues with that type of thinking. I'm sorry. I will have issues with that. That's just me. But I tell you what, I believe there's a lot of you in here who believe the same way that I do. If that were saying the truth, then what they're telling me is they've got a problem with Genesis, is what they're telling me then. Because Genesis tells us in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He did not evolve from anything else. He says, my God created him, and he breathed life into that individual. And pray God, that's why we're here today. That's why we're here. It's telling me this book is not sufficient to tell me where it came from. Then you know what? This book is not sufficient to tell me where I'm going then, right? You know, if you just want to take part of it, and you don't agree with part of it, if you cannot believe where I came from out of it, don't believe where we're going one of these days. Oh, heaven's a great place. Oh, heaven's this. But I don't want to believe that stuff back here in Genesis. Let me tell you something. Believe it all or don't believe none of it. If it's wrong about the origin of the species, it's also wrong about the destiny of the species. Amen? That's exactly right. If the Bible is not what it says it is, then we are going to have problems with the plan of salvation, are we not? We're going to have it. If there was no Garden of Eden, folks, and we were just simply evolved, if there was no fall in the Garden of Eden, if we are not sinners by nature, then answer me this question. You know what? Why are we not just evolving onward and upward? Why are we not doing it? Why do we need to be saved for? Why would we need to be saved if that was the case? We don't need to be born again. But God's holy word tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you what, if Genesis is a myth, then John 3:16 is a farce. Amen. And it's not. We know it's not. But if they want to believe part of this Word of God and part of the Bible and take the rest of it and you know what? Take and just take parts out of it and use it, they're not doing right because they need to believe every bit of it. And I do. Amen. If we teach people we came from animals, you know what it tells me? That eventually what they're going to start living like animals. You know what? They look around me today and I'm saying I don't think we're too far off from it. Amen. Yes, Jesus was preeminent in creation and He was there. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the seas, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God said, let us make man in our own image. Who is He talking to? I believe what the Word of God says. He was talking to Jesus there. I believe that. He was talking to the Son there. Colossians 1:17 tells us He holds it all together. Whatever it says that right there, and in Him all things consist, He holds it together, folks. To prevent something from falling into complete chaos, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, these scriptures are precious in my eyes right here. Because I know no matter what's going on, Jesus Christ holds this whole thing together. Amen? He's the one that does it. He's the glue. He's the glue of this galaxy. He's the fuel for the sun that we sit under and comes up every morning. He is it. Because why? Because He holds it all together. Folks, we don't have to become unglued or afraid when the storms of life beat against us. We don't have to do that. And I want to tell you something. You folks in here know it's been rough. It's been rough the last few weeks, right? Maybe some of you are rougher than others, but praise God, you know what? We don't have to remember, He is still in control. He still has the power in His Word. The Bible tells us that. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that. If you want to mark that down and look at that, because the power is in His Word. Who being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person and upholding all things by the Word of His power. By the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Guess what? He has God's ear. Have you ever heard that before? You have somebody's ear that you could talk to and get, and you know what? Maybe get your way. Jesus Christ has God's ear, amen? And it's on our behalf. I'll tell you what. One of the things too also, He is preeminent in the gospel message. It says, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Himself reconciled all things unto Himself. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. There is no salvation apart from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You cannot have salvation unless you accept Jesus Christ into your heart. There is just no way. It's just no way. You can think. You can go another way. You can think. They tell me that the Bible tells me that anyone else that tries to go another way is nothing more than a thief and a robber, right? That's what the Scripture says. We've got to come through Jesus Christ. There is no other way than Jesus. Jesus told us in John 14:6, He said, Jesus saying to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If there is some other way besides Jesus, then Acts 14:12 is also false. And you know what the disciples said over there? They said over there, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby ye must be saved. Not maybe, it says must. But I believe every word, and I believe that Jesus is the only way. I found a treasure when I found Jesus. You remember that song? I want to tell you that. I found a treasure when I found Jesus one day. For years I walked over it. I walked around it, young people. I'll tell you what, I did everything in my power to try to find different treasures out here in this world. I tried. I'll tell you what, nothing satisfied me for very long. And it won't. Sin, don't get me wrong. Sin is pleasurable for a season. But then one of these days, you pay the debt for that. Do you understand me? You pay the debt for it. And you know what? When you pay that debt, That debt right there, that debt is one of those things that, folks, you cannot pay it on your own. It takes the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It takes it. It's the absolute, the greatest thing that I have in my life right now. People will probably get tired of me saying that, but you know what is the greatest thing that happened in my life the night that I got saved? The greatest thing that happened to me. You know what it was? I gave him guilt. I gave him heartache, shame, fate, hate, and a life in turmoil. You know what he gave me back? This is fair. This isn't very fair exchange, I can tell you that. He gave me peace, love, joy. And he gave me a life full of purpose. That's what he's given me. You know what? That doesn't sound like a very fair exchange, but you know what? He was willing to do it, and he's willing to do it for you here this morning. He's willing to do it. I know it doesn't sound like a fair trade, but praise God, he's willing to do that for anybody. And guess what? He's more than willing to do it for you. It's right under your nose, folks. It's right underneath of you. There was a man one time who loved Jesus, loved him with all his heart. But anyway, he fell deeply in love with this girl, and he was going to propose to her. And he went up to her and he proposed to her, and this is how the proposal went. He said, I love you as deeply as I love anybody in this world, but would you be willing to take second place in my heart? Would you be willing to take second place in my heart because of how much you love the Lord? You know, that woman said yes. And they went ahead and got married. And they still were married to this day. And you say, well, I don't know if I, you may be something back here, maybe a woman something back here, and you say, well, I don't know if I can be second place in anything. Let me tell you something. If you can love the Lord where he's preeminent in your life, and your husband can love the Lord where he's preeminent in his life, you will have a relationship beyond all measure. Do you understand that? You want to know what true love is? That right there was love. That is true love. Is Jesus preeminent in your life today? Is he number one in your life? Is he still there today? Is, you know what? If you're back here today and you do not know Jesus, and there's somebody else on your throne besides him, I ask you to come up here this morning and give your life to him. But let me tell you something else. If you're back there this morning, and maybe your walk with the Lord has got a little slow, maybe there's something, that spirit that you once felt, you don't feel it as much now. I want to ask you a question. Are you trying to put something else on the throne besides Jesus Christ? Are you trying to do that this morning? Because if you are, like I said, it's not going to work. He is a jealous God, and he wants to be number one in your life, and he can do that. As they come and give a song this morning, I'm done.